Hey friend, do you want to offer meaningful learning solutions that create behavior change, fit in the flow of work, and yield real results for your nonprofit? If yes, this is the podcast for you. Join me as I explore instructional design and leadership development best practices, as well as change management, belonging, and influence. If we haven't met yet, I'm Heather, and I've been in your shoes. I'm a learning and development consultant and founder of Skill Masters Market. Before starting my business, I led learning and leadership development initiatives for a large national nonprofit. I know what it's like to need to develop your staff quickly and effectively and to build the relationships and cut through the organizational layers to be successful. And I'm bringing all of that to you in this podcast. So block your calendar, turn off your Teams or Slack chat, and let's dive in. It's learning for good. I consider myself fairly easy to get along with. I establish good relationships with my clients, and I try to keep in touch with them long after our projects end because I care about them and about how things are going. And it was the same when I was working internally at a national nonprofit. I worked with a lot of the same subject matter experts and internal partners time and time again, and I wanted to have good working relationships with each of them. And I wanted a relationship that was built on respect and trust, both from a professional perspective, but also on a personal level. So you could often find us talking about our kids, our workouts, our upcoming travel plans with just as much connection and energy as when we were talking about competency models or learner needs. But as with any relationship, we aren't always going to agree. So what happens when the learning and development team disagrees with a subject matter expert? Many times I have seen this lead to frustration, but it doesn't have to be that way. That's why on today's episode of Learning for Good, we are talking about how to work with SMEs without the frustration. I was working with a client last year to revise and redesign an existing training to go from an in-person training to a virtual instructor-led training. We knew the course wouldn't be as long virtually as it was in person, so we would be faced with some decisions about how to cut content and how to create new activities and interactions to work in the virtual space, among other things, as you can imagine. Most subject matter experts, or SMEs, are open to redesigning activities and interactions. But when you talk about cutting content, that can be a challenge. And that's because subject matter experts are often passionate about the content. They are experts, after all. And when we talk about cutting content, it feels personal. So how did I navigate the situation? And what can you do to navigate similar situations as you are working with your subject matter experts? That's what I want to share today. I have 3 tips, and these tips have worked well for me. But I will add, before we jump in, so much of this is also about the relationship. So while I won't focus on relationship building on this episode, know that a good relationship with your subject matter experts will take you far. All right, let's dive into the top 3 tips I have for working with SMEs without the frustration. Tip 1, establish roles and expectations up front. So you're going to want to start your project with a formal project kickoff every time, even if you've worked with your subject matter expert before. And during the kickoff, you'll do all the things that you'd normally do in a kickoff. Discuss the project, go over the timeline, whatever it is that you do. That's probably a whole other episode, and I can add that one to the list. But make sure during your project kickoff that you include a conversation about roles. What is the learning and development team's role? What is the subject matter expert's role? How will you work together? When will you work independently? What are the expectations? So for example, I always say that the subject matter expert's job is to look out for the content, and my job is to look out for the learner. The subject matter expert is an expert in the content. I am an expert in how adults learn. And together, we can create something really amazing. So if there's a decision that impacts content, the subject matter expert should feel accountable. And if there's a decision that impacts the learner, the learning and development team should feel accountable. Now, occasionally there is gray area here, specifically when we're talking about cutting content. So that's where tip two comes in. Tip two is to set clear objectives and use them. A lot of people will say that objectives fall clearly in the learning and development team's realm. It is their responsibility, part of their role in the project. And while I understand this thinking, it's important that the subject matter expert has buy-in with those objectives. So my recommendation is to make this a discussion. Co-create those objectives. Here's how. You're going to do the analysis that you need to do to understand the learner's needs. Invite the subject matter expert to be as much a part of that process as you can without biasing the results. Share the results with the subject matter expert and start a how might we conversation. So for example, I might say, the analysis revealed that learners are struggling to observe their staff in action, and you've said that's essential to program success. How might we help them overcome those challenges? Or the analysis revealed that learners are already feeling really strong at communicating with families, and you've said they struggle with this. How might we bridge that gap? Then take the needs analysis and your conversation with your subject matter expert and create a set of draft objectives. Present the draft to them in a way that invites discussion. Iterate on those objectives as you talk. And you're going to continue this as needed until you have a set of objectives that is aligned with your learner's needs and what you discovered in the analysis process, that feels right to your subject matter expert, but also leverages instructional design best practices. Now you have a set of objectives that you both feel good about. And as discrepancies or disagreements come up about the content, you can go back to those objectives that you both created and have a discussion about the path forward. Because you both agreed on those objectives, the conversation goes smoother. You both are headed in the same direction, and you can make decisions based on those agreed upon objectives. Now, you might have noticed that a lot of this is based on having good discussion with your subject matter experts. And that's what led me to tip three. Align your deliverables with meetings so you can discuss and make decisions together. When you are communicating about potential disagreements via email or via track changes in a Word document or comments in Storyline or whatever you're using, it's easy to end up frustrated. But when you are able to engage in a dialogue about their concerns and the issue at hand, you are more likely to get to a place where you can agree on an action. That has been my experience. So I always align deliverables with meetings. Then we have the agenda for the meeting. We're going to talk about this review or this question or this concern one-on-one or whatever the project team size is, but one-on-one, me and you, we're going to talk about this. We're going to work through it. That has what's worked for me. And I've been doing this for a long time, but I'm curious what has worked for you. How do you work with subject matter experts without the frustration? Come join us in the nonprofit Learning and Development Collective and let us know what's working for you and for your learning and development team. The Collective is a free virtual community for nonprofit talent management, DEI, and L&D leaders to solve their toughest challenges by connecting and sharing with each other quickly and easily. You can grab the link to join in the show notes, and I'll see you there. Until next time, on Learning for Good. Hey friend, was this episode helpful for you? Did you like what you heard? Do you want more content like this? Here are three things you can do. Hit subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Share this episode with a colleague. This means so much to me personally. I read every review, but it also helps me learn what content you like most so I can create more of what you want. All right, turn that Teams or Slack chat back on when you're ready, and I'll see you next time on Learning for Good.